Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go around the NFL here. And sorry, for a second, going back to the question of the day that was about D'Amico-isms. A lot of people making mention of the fact that he says right after statements and had not considered that. I honestly probably should have played a little bit of audio. This is a couple of guys. Interestingly enough, we did not see this ahead of making the question of the day. But social media put out a video of guys impersonating the head coach. These are the two of the best ones, I think. This is EJ Speed and Tim Settle giving their impersonations to D'Amico.
What you scared of about that? Nothing, right? Okay.
Great morning. All right. Swarm on three. 1, 2, 3.
EJ Speed, if there is a market for D'Amico Ryan's impersonators, might have a secondary job there.
He does that on the press conferences too sometimes. Great morning, guys. Oh, okay. Thanks, coach.
What you scared of about that? Nothing, right? Okay.
That's D'Amico Ryan speaking. That's D'Amico. It absolutely sounds like him.
Yeah.
That was cool. Appreciate you guys rock with us. Also, have a great appreciation for a little bit of get back. That was one of the things that happened around the NFL this weekend as Rico Dowdle, running back for the Carolina Panthers. In fact, he's running back two. Chuba Hubbard is running back one, except running back one was injured for this game, and I do wonder how much he was creating way for what is a revenge game that absolutely should not be a revenge game that anyone cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Rico Dowdle is running back two on a team where against the Dallas Cowboys that he had previously played with for like 5 years, where he was the backup for a majority of the time and then had kind of a breakout season and then left. This was Rico Dowdle before, in the week leading up to the game, talking about the revenge factor of this game.
But to do this right before y'all play Dallas, was this kind of like a message, like y'all should?
Oh, for sure. They got to buckle up. I think they know for sure. I've been there 5 years. They didn't keep me there for 5 years for no reason. I definitely will say that. But looking forward to playing those guys next week. And, we'll get to it. We'll handle that when we get there.
Buckle up.
That was necessary. The Panthers actually beat the Cowboys 30-27, and Rico Dowdle had 239 all-purpose yards. That's a franchise record.
Yes.
Think about when I say 239 all-purpose yards. Think about the players that have played.
They ain't had no scrubs.
That's
either,
right,
man.
That's
the Panthers. Steve Smith played there. Christian McCaffrey played there. All of them.
But Jonathan Stewart.
Jonathan Stewart. Right? All of them. And none of them put up 239 all-purpose yards like one Rico Dowdle. This was Rico Dowdle after the game when asked about his comments.
They weren't buckled up.
That's so good. I'm telling you, they need to buckle up. Post-game, I told you they should have buckled up.
They weren't buckled up.
That Cowboys defense is terrible.
Awful. And credit to him, too. I mean, from the first touch, this was one of, well, I say first touches, the first I saw that he had in the game, just running with purpose. That guy was running with, it was angry runs. It was angry runs the whole time.
If you got Cowboys friends in your life, this is how you annoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that Kenny Clark thing where you were supposed to be better stopping the run, how did that go?
Was he out there?
Yeah.
Or it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes and no. He was out there, but he also wasn't. Tet McMullen, he got off in this game. Bryce Young looked fine in this game. Mm-hmm. It's just the Cowboys have an incredible offense and a terrible defense. In fact, this was said on the YouTube page by Timmy, and I appreciate you getting involved. Made mention of the crazy thing is if the Texans had the Cowboys offense or if the Cowboys had the Texans defense, then you could talk about like Super Bowl type teams, which is fair. Like mm-hmm. we talked about MVP possibilities, and Baker Mayfield is one of those guys for sure. Dak Prescott, if he was on a team that anybody viewed any level of serious and was not, what are they, 2-3-1, yeah. whatever, mm-hmm. you would look at him and be like, that he is on the shortest of lists for MVP. He's been incredible.
He's having a great season. I mean, an absolutely great season, which really, in a weird way, makes it look even worse for the Cowboys. Like, it's not Dak. You wish you could just blame the quarterback, you know?
The thing is, they kind of tied to Dak right now.
Oh, big time.
I don't even know what they can do to get better. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know, like, where do you look at?
And this is
just
the thing.
Just focus on the defense or yeah. Colt? Like, I have no idea.
There is no way to get better. That's the scary part. You were in week 6. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at this and you go, the offense is probably maxing out. They're putting mm-hmm. up damn near 40 all the damn time. And the defense just... there's the talent's not over there, right? There's just not enough talent over there, which feels wild. But also some of this is Matt Eberflus as a defense coordinator is terrible. Mm-hmm. He, like, the system that he has out there is really bad. Is firing him going to work? Like, there's a lot of clamors for him to be fired up there. Is that going to work and changing your defense on the fly? I don't know, but that's tough. And that's where I think you can look at this Texas team and feel so much better is the place where you look at is maybe some level of weakness for this team still has a lot of room and possibility of getting better. Which is the offense.
I'm not altogether with you on the Eberflus thing. I know that the personnel is a big factor for me. I know he's had some struggles, but he's had success in the past.
With the Colts?
With the Colts. Yeah.
And I agree. I thought he was a good defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. I just see the way that he's doing. There's some clear indications that you don't understand your personnel. And that
maybe
you're
that's
not,
it.
You're not setting them up to succeed.
Yeah.
Because one thing I know from my time up there, Donovan Wilson, he's a safety. He wears number 6. He's a box safety. He might as well be a linebacker. He likes thumping. That dude has been a deep safety. Every time I see the Cowboys playing, I'm like, that's not a smart thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just a dude out here in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. You are a defense coordinator. Now, the biggest reason why the Panthers win this game is nothing that we've talked about to this point.
And that is?
The Panthers are 2-0 since a particular inflection point in the season.
Okay.
The inflection point is a thing called Meow Mix.
Mm-hmm.
The Meow Mix podcast got to a point where they looked up. And by the way, this is a podcast that's devoted to the Panthers in 2019. Since 2019 is when they launched.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, they decided, this team is so bad, we're not doing this anymore. We don't want a podcast about this team anymore.
So do you... bring the podcast back?
Thank you, Fran, for asking the question that I was going to get you to. Do you bring the podcast back?
I think they've kind of been doing it, though.
What?
I think they, because I checked this out, too. I'm like, let me see if they still tweeting about the game. I think they stream and all that other stuff.
But not the actual sit-down podcast or whatever?
I'm not
sure. Or are they doing
I'm
that
not
too?
Sure. Yeah. It looked like they never stopped, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is kind of corny to me, man. Yeah. I think y'all, I had it as a confession last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all shouldn't have never stopped.
No.
Like, nah, you stick it out through the mud, man. It's mm-hmm. You ain't the only bad team in the world, man.
You're just making podcast episodes a lot shorter.
Like, yeah.
We're doing a 12-minute episode this week, fellas. Mm-hmm. That was a very interesting thing that happened there in that game. This is going to be very pertinent to the Texans, and I think I'll take that in this way now here. As the 49ers lose middle linebacker Fred Warner, one of the best in the league, to a season-ending ankle injury. And this is huge. He departed the loss to those Tampa Bay Buccaneers that we were talking about earlier. Dislocated right ankle is officially what it is, mm-hmm. lost in the first quarter. And this is absolutely – he's going to be gone for the season. He is the heart and soul of that defense in a similar way, but not entirely to the way that Azeez Al-Shaair is. To this Texans defense, he is even more so. He is the glue that binds that thing together. He is the brain of this. His ability to cover and his range is the reason why they're good. This opens up a big gap for the Texans in particular versus the Niners, but the AFC West in general, or the NFC rather.
NFC West in general, I'm not too concerned about that myself, because I think what it does with the Texans, I mean, that's a game that all of a sudden – you know, I think you have to be very confident in that offensively, you know, without Fred Warner there. Because, I mean, D'Amico knows. I mean, that was his guy. And they know that he's the heart and soul, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and his particular ability to like, range is huge. I wonder how they go about that. Like, Robert Saleh is a very good defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. But what do you do when the piece that makes your scheme capable, mm-hmm. it's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Do you see if you could just find a facsimile, or do you change the entire scheme on a dime? Neither of those are good options.
I think they're going to just try to fill in the blank, but just try to imagine. And Aziz Alshire is not regarded nearly as highly as Fred Warner, but imagine if that were the case. You know, it would be like, oh no, you know, he's the heart and soul.
And the thing about it is, you have guys that maybe can do a little bit of similar. We've seen having to, you know, span some games with guys who are not Aziz Alshire.
Mm-hmm.
But Aziz isn't the guy that we go, well, he covers, and that's the reason why he makes this work.
Right.
That's Fred. Mm-hmm. His backup, Fred Warner, there in San Francisco, do you know, are you familiar with the Luke Gifford?
Oh, Gifford. Yeah. Yeah, I know him. Is he related to Frank?
I can't tell you anything about that. But what I can tell you is, over the middle should be something that you have an opportunity to really get home on over there. Something that we said that we would circle back around to, mm-hmm. the Seattle Seahawks. They looked very, very good in their game this weekend. And it wasn't just that they looked good. The defense in particular, it is coming on strong in a way that makes me go, oh, okay, that's going to be a huge consideration this week.
You want to test the offensive line? You're going to get a test through the offensive line.
Is that what impressed you the most about their team yesterday?
25 pressures? I think PFF had them at 33 pressures, depending on who you believe, but widely regarded, 25 pressures. Was it 7 sacks that they had?
I'll have to double check on that
16
one, but I believe.
Quarterback hits? Yeah.
Seven sacks.
Seven sacks, 16 quarterback hits, 25 pressures. That's what you call a test. That's what you call the test right there.
Yeah. This is going to be the perfect and mm-hmm. perfect, not necessarily a good way for the Texans, test of how far the progress is. It's mm-hmm. clear that this Texans team has progressed since week 3 when you lose to the Jags. But now you're going to get a real test of how much of the progress is the team that you were facing off against your opponents, and how much of that is inherent to what you're doing. And you're coming off of a bye. Like, it's the best case scenario that you could have in a season versus this team. This Monday night game is going to be very, very telling on where the Texans are and how far forward they can take this, I think, in the league.
I agree.
A couple other things to note, which I think you were very interested in. First and foremost, the Ravens, we mentioned them against the Rams. They put up a whopping 3 points, but they only gave up 17. Which of those is more important to you as the Ravens fall to 1-5?
The 3 points. Dak, Lamar Jackson now is not going to be available till week 7. After week 7, so they're in trouble. Figgy, you alluded to this earlier. You said, you know, the Ravens might be done.
Yeah,
I think they are done.
Yeah,
I think we can talk about that.
For this year, or just like the kind of
for this year.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't see it either, man. I think they got a lot of issues. That's the that's the good part, that you don't really have to look at them as being in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one thing I thought about was, damn, they're going to have a top 5 pick.
Yeah,
I hope they don't have
Just
imagine
no.
the Ravens.
Well, the thing is, they do have a very soft part of the schedule coming back when Lamar Jackson comes back. They have the Bears at home, at Miami, which is a bleep show. Minnesota, okay. At Cleveland, good defense, but we'll see. And then the Jets in Cincinnati. So they do have a – if you're of the opinion that they'll somehow find a way – these next 5-6 games are when they're going to be able to maybe prove something after this coming bye week.
Yeah, but do you feel like it might be a little too late?
I think they are done. I think they're it's a tall task for them to even get to the postseason right now.
Yeah, I mean, this just feels like it's well outside of the range. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of teams that have been able to make the postseason starting 1-5, but it feels like it's
they got to look at the wild card at that point, and they're going to need a lot of help if they feel like they're trying to sneak into the playoff.
Their last two games are at Green Bay and at Pittsburgh. So if it comes down to the last two games,
that's 1-7 right there.
that's 7 losses probably. Yeah.
Speaking of teams that have had a little bit of a rough time, and by the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch a local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I would like to take you to Miami, where are you surprised the coach hadn't been fired yet?
I am, to be honest. First of all, if you wear pants like that and you don't win a game, it's
pants
it's,
like that is where we're going here.
Why is everybody talking about this pants? You've been wearing them pants for what, 5 years?
It was fun when he had a high flying offense.
They hit a lot better when you're winning.
Why is he wearing no Louis Vuitton glasses?
He's got those
and no Gucci shoes.
I don't know about capris, man. I just don't know about capris.
They put up points in this game, and your man Devon Achane.
Oh, he had a good game.
Looked incredible. Toting that rock, he was turning corners really well. 8 yards per carry on the ground. In addition to when he added a couple of 22 yards catching the football as well. But Tua Tagovailoa, just a real rough go of it. 205 yards, but one touchdown, three interceptions, and he was not very happy. Very much, the stats looked like they weren't on the same page as the team. He said as much when he went to the podium. Is this fair or foul, John Lopez?
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys. And then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of... It's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
To be clear, you're saying some players were late or missed?
Late, yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
I think it's fair to do, but I also think it's more on him than the players who were late or missed players-only meetings. Because to me... Clearly, this is a team that does not respect the head coach, or he's lost respect.
Well, by the way, the coach said that the guys have all met his expectations.
Yeah.
So he kind of left Tua out there I mean, whatever he's talking about, he's clearly trying to set some expectation, and I believe the guys will meet up to it. But when it comes to me, they've done everything I need.
No, you can say that it's foul because he threw those guys under the bus, but he didn't mention their names. I think it's fair to put that out there, but I think it's a reflection on Tua. Like, I think... Mike McDaniel has lost respect or lost the locker room, however you want to put it. But I don't think they respect Tua enough, because clearly he was either the guy that called these players-only meetings or was certainly at the top of the list in terms of people who spoke or led them or whatever. And they didn't even show up, man. I think that's a reflection on Tua.
I think it's the way he said it, too.
He said it
like in a nice, professional way. Mm-hmm. It's like, dog, you got to go up there like, we got players that ain't showing up to no meetings.
That's right, bang the table
like,
a little bit.
We got to clean this up. Yeah. If he did that, we'd be like, yeah, that's the fire they need.
I don't think they respect him.
It's hard to do that when you're throwing three interceptions.
I know. Yeah. Yes.
Like, yeah. It feels foul to me just because your nose ain't clean here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your hands aren't clean here. And it's clear, it's very fair to be frustrated by that. It feels weird to bring that out up unsolicited in front of everybody.
Yes.
When you got team issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels like Aaron.
You're the quarterback.
Aaron the family business when you also aren't on the up and up.
Yeah.
Feels like, here's the thing. I don't even know. Fair or foul, let me go ahead and take that off the table. I don't think that's going to help any of this, right?
Yeah.
The idea of someone not respecting you, then you go talk about it to the media, that's not going to engender respect.
No, that's not going to make it all of a sudden better.
No. Bad way. They did score 27 points in this one.
They did.
They got close to the Chargers. They just couldn't get a victory. So they are also 1-5 in the NFL. And that's around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's actually return to the Houston Astros. I know they're not playing baseball right now, but yet last week we got some really interesting news. And I think we've been marinating it with it on the weekend. The changes that are happening on the staff of this Astros team. How much of the cleaning of house was actually necessary? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Thank you, Mr. Big Voice Man. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It is indeed still a Reaction Monday, even with the Texans on a bye. We'll hear from head coach D'Amico Ryans tomorrow. But yeah, we're still reacting to the weekend that was, which honestly includes some really fun postseason baseball. And I understand the Astros were not playing in it. However, we were talking about it. Like, it kind of is nice to have a little bit of a breather from the stress that comes from watching a game with that pressure within it. Is that kind of how you saw it? Or I know some people had some pressure because they was hate watching some of these games. And so you added that investment in a different way.
Well, the hate watching was the Yankees, and so sad. But
I hear it in your voice. I hear the sympathy.
Everything else, even the Mariners, I get it. You know, you wanted them to. Oh, really?
Yeah,
watching the Mariners.
I learned something about myself.
Oh,
like I'm
okay.
Just out here
little
watching.
Mini confession here. He still hates the Mariners.
Yeah, man. I thought I was, and you know, which is funny because I've talked about it a few times this season, looking at this Mariners team. And there's reasons for it to be fun and interesting, right? They've got really good pitching. They've got a lot of depth. They're swinging the bat really well now for the first time in a little while. And so, like, there's reasons for me just from an interest standpoint. They got the man whose nickname is about his booty. Like, all that, right? Like, there's funny things within it. Just the longer and longer it goes along, I'm like, I don't want to hear them people's mouths. I don't want to hear them people's mouths about it, man.
Where are you on the Mariners? I'm. It's not like I'm rooting for them. It's just like I'm not hate watching the Mariners like I was the Yankees.
Yeah, it's not that bad for the Mariners to me, but I'm definitely pulling for the Blue Jays over the Mariners, man. I just
Springer,
can't,
man.
Yeah, if for nothing
Springer.
Else,
Springer.
I would like to see now old man Springer.
Yes,
get that victory.
He's the one you miss the most, isn't he?
Of all the former departed, Astros that are now, yes,
right.
I think so. Just from like a. From an emotional standpoint.
I think even if Correa was not an Astro now, I'd still think it would be Springer.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you know what? You never miss your first. Like, you never forget your first, right?
Yeah.
Like he was the first one that left. I think there's an enthusiasm that he played baseball with that
Sports
showed through.
Illustrated cover boy.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's the numerous, you know, leadoff homers that, you know, I just always stick with me. Second, I think, is Bregman, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
Correa, obviously, if he had not returned, is going to be up there as well. And now that I think about it, Kyle Tucker, pretty low on those rankings, which feels uncomfortable. We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
What I do want to do, though, is return to, and some of this is, I was not here, so now I'm going to talk about
it. Well, it was Friday, too, when it really started. Was it during the show Friday? Or
Thursday,
after
I believe. During the show Thursday.
It came down Thursday.
Thursday, okay.
Thursday around 12:40-ish.
Yeah. We found out that although we had the information that Dana Brown, as the general manager, and Joe Espada as the manager of this team were going to remain in their places, that there were going to be some changes on this staff. Namely, both of your hitting coaches, the head athletic trainer, and one other that I'm forgetting in this moment. I apologize.
Assistant GM.
Thank you. Those guys would no longer be returning to this Astros team.
Catching coach.
Yes, the catching coaches, I'm sure, is a big one for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much of these were actually necessary versus kind of just needing a change of some nebulous sort?
I think all the changes were very interesting to me and for a number of reasons. But the biggest one is if you look at it, the proverbial 30,000, you know, foot view, I think the only one that had to happen, there was no question about it, was Jeremiah Randall, their head athletic trainer. You can't keep a guy. Even if some of it was, you know, beyond him, and it was doctors and it was surgeons and it was the surgeries and all that, you cannot keep a guy when there's 28 players on IL over the course of the year. You can't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it.
I hear you there, yeah. And I want to be careful about the way we do this because I do think you got to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even simply the number of injuries, because some people will like kind of tongue in cheek be like, "Oh yeah,
yeah, you're right.
You got to
right.
fire the guy because he, you know, he mm-hmm. because Jordan stepped on the plate wrong." It's not just injuries. Bad injury luck happens. The thing that you can point to is there was a continuous pattern mm-hmm. of misdiagnosed and mishandled injury returns.
100%.
And I think that those are process yeah. things that I can say definitively.
That is the athletic trainer.
Is an issue, yeah. right? And
Is he ready to go? Yeah, he's ready to go. No, he's not.
Right. And this yeah. is the same. This is the same trainer that you've had all through this run, yeah. right? And so maybe you go, it had been fine before. This is bad luck. But the inability to get it right
mm-hmm.
makes me go, I need to assess this. And hopefully they actually went through the process of assessing it, and it's not just a scapegoating, because that actually will be more damage than it helps if mm-hmm. you just scapegoat somebody and you don't actually revisit the actual processes. But I think that one, 100%, I'm with you. That had to happen, because no matter what you try and fix elsewhere, the best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot get that squared up, you will have issues no matter what with this team.
Tell me if you agree with this. I think that was the only one that was absolutely necessary and wasn't a reflection of something else that maybe is a little more bothersome. You said scapegoating. That's one way to put it. I think this has all the markings of leadership at Daikin Park falling into an every man for himself mode. And let me explain.
Please.
Alex Cintron, and again, one of the things that happens when a team doesn't reach expectations, everybody points to who? The hitting coach. It's a hitting coach is a bad job to have if you want career stability or whatever.
It's very low hanging fruit for ball knowers, yes, right? Like yes. if you're not super tied into a team, you're not going to know the hitting coach.
Yes.
If you're super tied in, you will know the hitting coach, and it's the first place you can go as soon as guys start swinging at junk or just look and just honestly not putting runs up. Just generally, yeah. you go, well, that's the hitting coach that's not getting them right. Clearly,
right. And there's an old saying in baseball and sports. Last to know, first to go. That's the hitting coach. The hitting coach in baseball is always the last to know about all these things that are going on behind the scenes, but they're the first one to get fired. So I kind of get Cintron getting fired. Let's remember this. He's been here since 2017. When have the Astros been really good hitting the ball? Since 2017.
Okay. All right.
When have they been clutch? Since 2017. When have they had players come from other teams and really improve their status and their production here since 2017? When have they been one of the most feared offenses in baseball? I can go down the list since 2017. And now you're firing them because they had a bad year, bad couple of years, really, if you want to extend it, offensively or in the clutch or whatever you want to call. I could see where he was fired, but I also think it's one of the signs that everybody's sort of like looking out for number one over there. And there's other ones as well. The catching coach I mentioned. His name is Michael Collins.
Yeah, I'm sure you're big on that one.
Would a different catching coach give Yonner Diaz a better arm? Because he has a bad arm. That's the problem.
Well, okay. I can answer that question definitively. No, they would not change his arm. We are not dealing with bionic. Yeah,
you never Yonner know, man. Diaz.
Oh, all know. Of a sudden he's going to get bionic? He's going to
Yeah, he might have him in the gym or something, man.
Yes. And Victor Caratini is a serviceable backup catcher, but he's never started more than 87 games in a 9-year career, ever. He's actually been pretty good as a catcher here, in terms yeah. of offense and defense and everything else. But they fired the catching coach. Why? Because people over there are really starting to worry about themselves, and they don't know what Jim – and this is my opinion – and they don't know what Jim Crane is really thinking, because Jim Crane is going to make all the big-time decisions. And this is the one – that really sort of opened my eyes to, okay, I think I see what's going on over there. They're starting to panic about their own job security. And that's the assistant general manager. Andrew Ball got fired. How is that going to fix something? The assistant general manager.
Well, to be fair, I think that that's one of those things where I got to know how they operate in that building. And mm-hmm. I will admit right up front, I don't know exactly what mm-hmm. his responsibilities are, because it's hard to judge somebody and their capabilities if I don't know what you do around here, right? It's one of the beautiful things if you see, and we've all worked in a workplace where you look over and you go, I don't know what that guy does. Mm. And that's how he keeps bringing down a paycheck, is because the more obscure it is what you actually do, the harder it is to determine if you're good at doing it and if you're being successful mm-hmm. at it. I don't know what he does, so I can't judge that. But in a general sense, I get where you're coming from, where you go, hey, the GM will remain, but his right-hand man, so to say, yeah. is going, what does that actually mean? I don't know that I can go with you on the idea that this is some level of, like, we are all fending for ourselves, though.
Oh, I
like,
think it has all the markings.
You think that this is a Dana Brown fending for himself type of situation?
Well, and also keep in mind, Andrew Ball is not a Dana Brown guy that he brought. Andrew Ball was here a year before Dana Brown. He got here in 2022, Dana Brown 2023. And so it's easy to, it's not a stretch to say, yeah, you know, it's not working out with Andrew Ball. You know, I need to bring my own guy in. What's that? That's the general manager looking out for number one.
Sure, but I think that it sounds a little more insidious than I think what it actually is, mm-hmm. which is probably just, well, we're trying to turn this over and make it ours fully. Like, if I'm going to go down, and maybe this is what you're going mm-hmm. with, if I'm going to ultimately go down, which is probably pretty early yeah. to kind of frame it that way, but mm-hmm. it's the way that's coming to my mind, so apologies. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging the way that I want to, which is I want to have, you know, people that I trust, that I believe most in what we're doing. And as you mentioned, a number of these guys, if not all of them, were established prior to this particular regime, both mm-hmm. with the manager and with the GM. And so there is something to be said for this change. I think that you're right. I think only the athletic trainer is the one where I go, absolutely needed a change. Mm-hmm. But there's also something to note, which is in sports, very rarely is there yeah. the firing where you go 100%. There is no case for bringing this person back, mm-hmm. right? There's always a level of judgment that is required within here. I do wonder how much, though, the judgment is, we kind of just need something different.
And maybe that's it. But let's also remember, you know, both Dana Brown and Joe Espada, when you know, they were asked about their jobs, they were like, I'm on contract. They don't know. They don't know what Jim Crane is really thinking. And then somehow, of course, they both stayed.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see who then occupies those jobs. Mm-hmm. And honestly, to be fair, I don't know what that means until we see it, right? Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to hitting coaches, we see a couple of teams deep in the postseason right now that just changed their hitting coaches yeah. in this season. And we've seen teams who changed their hitting coaches who have not produced. Like, it's one of those things that the results will ultimately determine how we view these. I do appreciate at least that this seemingly shows a willingness to reflect upon themselves
yeah.
and attempt to make themselves better. But that don't mean nothing. Like, you can't spend that. Ultimately, what's going to need to happen is we're going to need to see the benefits. And really, we're going to need to see the players
mm-hmm.
Decide or determine how they want to play this, right? If they get out here and they keep swinging at junk, it's not going to matter who the hitting coach is or what they're trying to tell the players to do if they're not going to, you know, actually implement it in their game. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
going to be the big part of it. But yeah, I think that you're right in some of this, that this is going to be an interesting inflection point on what the Astros are. It'll be, time will tell whether that's an inflection point that says that they opened up the window once again and pushed forward, or if this ends up being some level of death knell.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Monday. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including there was some fun college football stuff, and not all of it was on the field. Plus, the return of the Dunkstronaut. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And how about we start here. College football on a Tuesday, we'll do tomorrow, but the college football weekend was deeply interesting, starting with the University of Texas actually getting a victory in Red River. And you can say it out loud. Go ahead and say it out loud.
Say what out loud? I don't know. What are you talking about?
All right.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that Texas played a pretty, like, it made sense. This And, of course, it would be very Texas to do that. The thing that I would like to remind myself, first mm-hmm. and foremost, but then also everybody listening as a result of that, this is Red River is the most rivalry of rivalries, in that the things that happened in this game don't actually mean anything about these teams on the outside of this. Like, no, they played 100%. In an entirely different place.
Yeah.
It's just the vibes of it are different. Although, I felt like the way that game played out is one that we probably should have anticipated, with both of those teams coming in being top 5, top 10 type defenses in the mm-hmm. nation, that it wasn't going to really pan out super well. John Mateer still coming on off with that hand injury. kind of played out as we probably should have imagined that one going.
Yeah, look, you know, in all fairness, look, and honesty here, the Longhorns are going to be a problem for everybody they face because of the defense. It's kind of almost like a Texans version. If you just get, you know, marginal improvement at the quarterback play.
Clean some stuff up.
Which
that's right. Just clean a little bit of stuff up.
Which, by the way, you did get much better, you know, quarterback play. You know, not off the charts, but much better quarterback play. This defense is going to keep you, you know, around. I mean, Oklahoma went in with the quote-unquote better defense.
Very good defense.
And they got worked. They got worked in the second half for sure.
Yeah, the second half is when 20 points gets put up.
Yeah, but the Texas defense is going to give everybody problems.
Agreed. Yeah. I don't know that this is one of those things that takes me in a place where I go, oh, I don't really like what Oklahoma's doing. But Texas will be back ranked, right? Like this they is are. Definitely going to – oh, are. Yeah, I forgot. We already have rankings out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Where are they at?
23, I think. Okay. I think. I'll double check.
If you're a Texas fan, text in 713-572-4610 and answer me this one question. Are you happy that, like, you're back ranked, or is this going to put you put your emotions more in the roller coaster? Because I could easily see this being the case. Mm-hmm. You lost against Ohio State. You got a few piddly wins on the way, with all due respect to those teams, including Sam Houston State. And now you got the win versus Oklahoma. Are you back in this state, or are you cautiously optimistic?
Dude, they got a chance to sneak into the playoffs?
Oh, boy.
That's a good question.
Oh, boy.
That's a good question. I think at that point,
if it's hell no, it's over, then.
No, it's not no hell no. They only have one loss, mm-hmm. And it was against a very good team that you might be familiar with.
They're 21, and SC came back in at 20.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so we'll get to all that in detail, but you know, just sort of there was some big news that we can't ignore in college football.
Oh, you mean that big firing that happened? UAB has fired Trent Dilfer. Wow. That is the biggest fire. Wait, is there a bigger firing?
I was shocked at that one.
That wasn't the one.
I'm shocked it took so long to fire Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, I forgot he was there.
But anyways, no, the one that you're talking about, James Franklin, the head coach of a team that was preseason number 2 in the nation, mm-hmm. was fired this weekend to the tune of, was it $56 million buyout? He will receive just under $50 million mm-hmm. of that. And, he was 3-3, 0-3 in conference, though. I think this mm-hmm. is the context that's necessary. 0-3 in conference, and mind you, the death knell was a loss versus a UCLA team who had been terrible, mm-hmm. and then the ultimate, you can't lose that game in a loss versus Northwestern. In fact, a fairly definitive loss against Northwestern.
Yeah.
That is always going to do it, especially for a head coach that's supposed to be amongst the elites in college football rankings. That'll do it, and he goes. The only thing that's funny is that's $50 million, no offset. So if he gets another job, it's not like, well, whatever you get paid over there, we don't have to pay you in these payouts. No. That money keeps coming.
It keeps coming. I think a couple of things were his undoing. It was still a shock to me. I mean, I was like, wow, that's big time. But I think two things were his big undoing. Oregon beat Penn State 3 times, and that's a reflection of the head coach. If you couldn't rally, they were right there with Oregon in overtime. In overtime, at home, wide out. We all saw it and all that. Then there's the big interception. And if you cannot rally the troops as a head coach from a game like that and you lose back-to-back to UCLA and Northwestern, that is a death knell. That is a death knell as a head coach. And then the other one, it's his own doing. I mean, and I agreed with him. I remember in the preseason, I was like, this might be the most talented Penn State team I've ever seen. But he said it. You know, he said it in the preseason. Talking about how good this squad was, never felt better about the roster, the quarterback, Drew Aller, who, by the way, out for the year as well.
Which, that's not going to help anything.
Yeah. But
that's probably why this firing gets done. Is like,
no,
like,
I think he put it out there. He said, we're really good. This is the best team I've coached. And then you lose 3 like that.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have been talking about mm-hmm. that statement. I don't rate that statement that highly. I mm-hmm. think you could look at Penn State and just know this is a team that constantly loses big games. You can't be in the stratosphere that they want to be in, is mm-hmm. that James Franklin is supposed to have them in with all the money that they spend on him and all of his program mm-hmm. and consistently lose the big games. And then now also lose those other games that he had previously been so good at winning. So yeah, no, James Franklin is gone. There's odds on who might be the next person to succeed him. The best odds are Matt Rhule, played at Penn State, been a very good coach. I don't hate that.
Kurt
second best odds?
Cignetti.
I think he has third or fourth best odds. Second best odds? Somebody that's familiar around here at the university or in the Houston area.
Who's that?
He's coached there before.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently coaching in the greater Northeast area right now in college football.
Mm-hmm.
You got the name?
Who?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh, God, no.
No. What do you mean?
I've seen the odds. I didn't see his name second.
Yeah.
Well, what list are you looking
bet
at?
Bet Online.
That's the Reggie Attitude. That best is the odds.
Bet Online has Bill O'Brien.
That is. I'm calling BS right up on there. That. I'm call, you are
four
making
to,
that. I see it, but you made it up.
Wait, how does that work? You see the odds that I'm showing you. 3-1 odds for Matt Rhule. 4-1 for Bill O'Brien.
He's not even
6-1 for Kurt Cignetti.
He's not even on the list I'm looking at. 3-1 Matt Rhule, 6-1 Kurt Cignetti, 8-1 interesting.
Lane Kiffin. Yeah, he's got some interesting stuff. Yeah.
That would be hilarious, man, if they bring Bill O'Brien back.
I didn't
back.
Know you were going to just start making stuff
what
up.
What you mean? Talk to our guy Jimmy Shapiro about that, because he sent it to me. And thank you to the text line for keeping me clean. Texas does have two losses. I forgot Florida got them, which that's also not
that was
very
last week.
I forgot about that. Well, put that out of my mind very quickly.
Oh, Florida got them, huh?
Yep. Interesting. Florida got him. We'll do more college football on a Tuesday.
Did Florida win tomorrow. The next game?
No, I don't think they won.
Can't
the next game.
Say that they did. Cannot say that they did. All right, some other things. We talked about playoff baseball. We'll get some more of that today. But the ALCS.
I can't get over this Bill O'Brien crap you're trying to.
What do you?
That's not true. You're making it up.
What do you want me to do?
I can tell you that I'm animated about this one.
Because I can't believe that those words came out of your mouth.
But it's not made up. The reason why I brought it up is because I was also surprised. Well, not that surprised, because he was successful in the 2 years after, in the midst of sanctions and stuff, after the Paterno and Sandusky.
He did a good job. Yeah. But there were people at Penn State that I know for a fact. Because I know some people up there.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and report
them. Glad he left.
Okay.
Really?
And then we found out why.
interesting enough, like, he seems like he's built more for college football is the reason why I thought it was interesting. But I was surprised to see him that high myself. Mm-hmm. That's why I brought it to the table. And again, I did not make this up. I don't know what you want me to do. The Mariners, and we'll talk more about this, they were in an instant classic, 15 mm-hmm. innings in game 5 of the ALDS. And it was mm-hmm. like, surely the Toronto Blue Jays have got to be excited about this. In fact, their social media team was posting GIFs and stuff where they were so excited. Apparently, they spoke too soon. Mariners won game 1 of the ALCS.
Yeah.
They pitched all sorts of dudes to the point where people were mad at A.J. Hinch on the other side of the mm-hmm. Tigers for who he had to pitch in the 15th gosh darn inning, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, man, you're using all your pitchers and everything. They come out after, 3 days after.
Oh, yeah, no, 50 hours.
It's 2 days after.
They
Thank
played
you.
24 innings in a span of 50 hours and won both games.
And it was at that point that I was like, oh, I probably should stop talking crazy about the Mariners. Like, and I know in the back of my, or actually front of my head, mm-hmm. I've known that this is a good baseball team. We've talked about it. The pitching has been great for a number of years. The hitting has come around in a mm-hmm. big way this year. And then they added on top of it at the trade deadline. And I was like, yeah, but they the Mariners. And they did this 50-hour stretch. And I was like, they might
24 innings in 50 hours and got, I mean, impressive. And by the way, Toronto, they were putting up 8 and 10 runs at a time. And they get beat yesterday. What was it, 3-1 ultimately?
It was 3-1. Yeah, the big thing for me was it was like 7-2 hits wise mm-hmm. in the favor of the Mariners. And I was like, oh, okay. This might be a thing trademark. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that you pair that with the fact that I have been in a place where I just don't want to see Seattle succeed mm-hmm. because I don't want to hear their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in a good way right now. Just at least baseball-wise. No. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. More stuff coming, including, I forgot to mention, that the Rockets, Dunkstronaut, and City Edition jerseys are coming back this season. We'll talk about that more as we go. But coming up next, we're coming off the bye week. We're headed into week 7. And this is typically a time where any football team will self-scout. So let's do a little bit of self-scouting and reevaluating. With the bye week to just digest the Texans season thus far, how do you assess the Texans' hopes going forward? 713-572-4610. We will do that. Next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.